This is Stories from the Red Zone and Gear Review. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs podcast.
So that buck stood up, had no idea I was there, and I airballed one right over his back, right into the tree.
I drew, and he sat behind that tree. So I sat there on camera for 2 minutes waiting for this bull to give me a shot.
Sure enough, they came through, and I was able to make the shot and fill my tag.
I've missed so many elk, and it took me 13 years to kill a bull elk with my bow.
He broadside to me, and click, I let go, and my bow explodes.
Called my husband, I'm like, I did it, I got one.
I saw the big branches, but I didn't see the small branches coming off, and I deflected, and I missed my opportunity.
Sent one right through him, and he didn't know I was there, and he was, you know, one of my better bucks, a 200-inch buck.
We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there, and you will find Archery Maniacs Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork, customizable video packages to fit all your hunt needs, monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto dehydration. Make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super tune your bow, beginner's bow tuning guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website. Do you suffer from target panic? Has buck fever affected your shot control at the moment of truth? Learn the science of shot control at ShotIQ.com. Joel Turner's controlled process shooting program will give you the tools to succeed in extreme stress shooting situations. Decide to succeed with ShotIQ.
Now.
Let's.
Get.
Into.
The show!
In this episode of Stories from the Red Zone, Logan Beckstrand hops on the podcast and shares his 2017 season recap. He shares some of his tips, tactics, and things that he used to be successful. He also goes over ways to shoot under pressure in practice season so that you can be ready when it comes time and the pressure is on during your hunt. As for the gear review, Kill Staten reviews the Tenzing TZ1140 pack. I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Logan Beckstrand. You're listening to the Archery Maniacs podcast.
Hey guys, and I am your host, Zach Harold. Excited to have Logan on the podcast today. I'm actually sitting in the Starbucks because our internet is getting redone out at our house and it's not ready yet. So if you hear any type of background noise, I want to apologize up front. But today, Logan is going to share a story for Stories from the Red Zone, and then we're going to break it down at the end.
Sweet. Well, yeah, so I had a pretty successful fall and winter. I'm down in Arizona, so we can hunt deer and javelina in December and January. A lot of it's over the counter, so I was able to get a archery javelina down again in December, and a really cool old rutting desert mule deer with the bow as well. So you know, for me, the desert mule deer, like, I grew up in Utah, so hunting up there, you know, my backyard, we always had mule deer and animals back there. But moving down to Phoenix, they're still a mule deer, but they're a totally different animal. The way they act and the terrain is so different, you know, when you're hunting next to saguaro cactuses. But the way that I kind of learned how to hunt these mule deer down here was I just put myself out in the desert. I figured, you know, I could sit back in glass or I could get in a lot closer and kind of study the animals, figure out you know, their habits and that kind of stuff, what their routines were. And there's a lot more water than you think there is. And I've never been one to really just sit at a water hole. I guess that's ADD, but, so yeah, for this mule deer, there was a spot I'd been out, helping some buddies trying to get their pigs and deer down. And, I had a couple guys down and we spotted some deer. And so we sent them around the hill a ways to get up, and try and cut these deer off. And I decided to go, a little bit closer to where I'd killed a pig a couple years earlier. And, you know, just slowly hiked in there, just glassing around. And, I got up to my glassing point, and this is the second time it's happened to me. As soon as I set up the glass and, you know, was just checking some of the little pockets that these deer and pigs like to hang out in, I heard something moving, and I looked over about 100 yards away, and there's a doe and a buck just flying in, to my side. So I just dropped everything and picked up the bow, and, you know, at that situation, I just went straight at him. And with that buck rutting, he had only one thing on his mind, you know, and, saw the doe standing there, and she was watching me, you know, cause I was already in their backyard, and that buck just kept coming. And, he didn't like that I was standing there for a minute, but he didn't want to leave his doe. So he was like, what do I do? Should I keep chasing this doe or what do I do? And so he kind of turned, and I just grunted at him, and that doe was still just standing there, and he turned broadside. And with it being January, you can only kill one deer a year. So normally a lot of people try and hold out for a really big animal, or, you know, what they classify as their trophy, whatever that is. But for me, he was just standing there, and I was like, you know, I've got a lot of time left, but I can tell he's got a huge body. He's a big 4-point, and, you know, just he's full rut. So I was like, all right, you know, it doesn't get much better than this. He looks like an awesome desert buck. And so ranged him and let it fly, and just pummeled him. I mean, he jumped and kicked and ran down the hill, and he piled up probably, I don't know, 60, 70 yards down from where I originally shot. And the blood trail was just horrific. There was blood everywhere. And he piled up right there and got a hold of my other buddies. And we went down and found him. And, you know, he's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he's not the biggest out there. But, you know, when I walked up to him, just how he's broken all over the place. He's huge Roman nose, you know, just that giant mule deer rutting nose. And you don't get to hunt mule deer rutting in the high country, like in Utah, where I grew up, very often. And, you know, that to me, that deer was the epitome of what a desert buck should look like. Big, wide, gnarly. I mean, he had scratches all over his face. His body was torn up. His teeth were next to nothing, you know, just perfect, you know, just an old desert buck. But
that's so, you know, cool.
Yeah, he was awesome, you know, and it was a perfect situation. But for me, a lot of my success, and same with the javelina I killed in December. I was hunting a new area and got a hold of a buck that knew it really well, and he said, go to this area. And he sent me a pin of where he always saw animals. And he said, if you get in there, you're going to find them. And I was like, all right, well, you know, and, you know, you get that advice from friends every now and again that, oh, I always see animals here. I always see animals here. And, you know, this one panned out that I killed the pig literally on the drop pin where he sent me. And, you know, same, I called him right then and said, dude, I just killed a pig. And he was like, oh, awesome, where at? And I was like, at your drop pin. He's like, well, yeah, but how close? There's a whole bunch of draws right there. He's like, I'm literally on your drop pin. And, you know, for me, a lot of people will – Arizona's hard. You know, it's kind of like the – it's somewhat like hunting the high country where you want – you can't sit back at the bottom at the truck and sit there and start glassing and expect to see the giants. You know, you've got to put yourself into that situation. And I grew up still hunting in the pines and in the country, in the high Uintas of Utah. And you can't glass up there.
Right.
So for us, we always just still hunted. But the way that my dad and grandpa did it, you know, back in the day, they would still hunt in there, and, you know, it would take them an hour to go 150 yards because they were just picking everything apart. And that's kind of how I've approached the archery side of things, in the open country, just slowly, methodically moving through that stuff, but putting myself in that situation that they're here. I know they're here, not just flying in guns blazing, but, putting myself in that situation where I'm in their backyard, I'm already cut the distance. And if that means I've got a glass, a little bit farther or closer, whatever, I just try and put myself in that area away from everybody where the animals already are. And for me, it's made all the difference in the world. Everyone's got their own hunting styles, but that's the way that I like to approach it. Just get myself in that situation, get close. The closer I am, the easier it is to glass them for me. I'm a sales rep for work, and we sell high-end optics. So, it's great for me to have access to that, to have those optics and that. But, if I can cut the distance in half and I can really get into that zone where nobody else is, everyone's back, at the side-by-sides glassing. For me, that's just one more notch that, in my favor, if I'm already in their red zone or whatever you want to have at it, but that's how it's worked for me. And, this year I've had a little bit of success, but this year has been great to get a deer down in November, a pig in December, and then another one in January. So I'm done for Arizona for deer until 2019. But, it was all worth it. That desert buck was just, he was perfect in my eyes. I've killed definitely bigger animals, but, there's been quite a few people that have reached out and said, what that's to them, that's a real trophy. And, I was talking to Mark Smith at the Hunt Expo last week, and he said in his eyes that the Arizona rut January hunt is one of the hardest mule deer hunts in the West. And to be able to get an animal down like that and have someone like Mark comment on that, that's a true trophy. And in his eyes, in my eyes, it was a true trophy as well because of how hard it is. Even though they are rutting, you're walking on basically gravel. You're every bush is trying to poke you, rip your clothes, and it's just a nightmare trying to get through some of that stuff. And it's just an awesome deal, with it being over the counter. It's a challenge. A lot of people come down and think, oh, they're rutting, they're stupid, which their brain power goes down quite a bit when they're in the rut, but you're still trying to take out an animal, harvest an animal that their whole life is surviving. So it's an awesome deal. Putting yourself in those situations is a huge factor in the style that I hunt. So
yeah, absolutely. So when you kind of put yourself in the right spot as far as the mule deer, when you shot him with your bow, when that doe had you pegged, what was kind of going through your mind?
Oh man, when I came over that, because the way they came down, like I was on this little saddle and they were above me when they first started running around the corner or off of that hill. And so they were above me and she ended up below me when by the time I was, it was all hell broke loose, binoculars on the tripod, I'm grabbing the bow, scrambling. I'm not even trying to be quiet, I'm skylined. And when I first saw her, I was like, oh crap, like she's got me pegged. But so I just, just held still, and there's no way she didn't see me. She was staring a hole right through me, and I was like, well crap, but they're within range, so as long as the buck doesn't roll out, then we'll just see what happens. And sure enough, he was walking away from her, but that's when I got him to stop and just grunted at him, and he turned, stood broadside, and that's when I was like, all right, he's standing there. He didn't see me. I never saw him until he turned around and was walking away. So I think when the doe pegged me, he got nervous but didn't quite know what was going on. But he didn't want to leave her. So when he turned broadside and I got a good look at him, that's when I decided he was perfect, looked great, and, end of story. It punched a hole, clean pass through, and down he went. So.
That's
yeah,
so
it was just
cool.
Kind of, we'll see what happens. Once you get in that zone and something busts you, you don't know what's going to happen. But part of the deal for me is I don't know why, when I shoot a lot of competitive archery as well, and I always shoot better if there's some kind of competition, or, you know, even if it's a doll or a target, you know, you're just shooting out with your buddies. If I have a little pressure on me, I shoot so much better than when I'm just screwing around shooting with the guys. And same thing with the animals. I've always tried to put myself in those situations, and I still get excited, but I've been able to control that, until after, as soon as that arrow's gone and you can't control anything else, that arrow's flying down range. You can't reach out and pull that arrow back and put it in your quiver. So at that point, hopefully you've done everything right. You executed your shot, you anchored, you know, you pulled through the release, you know, X, Y, and Z. And at that point, you know, hopefully everything works out, but that's all you can do, you know, try and put yourself, for me, I put myself in those high pressure situations. So when I do get into that hunting scenario, I'm composed all the way until that arrow's flying. And then after that, it's just, I've posted a lot of videos of myself after the shot, and, you know, I'm almost in tears. I'm shaking. I'm so excited. You know, I hurry and call my wife. I killed another buck. And she's like, no, you didn't. Cause I'll call and joke with her, you know, just tease her. And, and I'm like, no, I got another one down. And, you know, but yeah, after that arrow's gone, that's when I break down and get, you know, all emotion comes out. But yeah, controlling your composure is a huge deal. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, that's, you know, you got to practice, get yourself in those hard situations so you know what's going to happen, you know, when you do get in that red zone where you're about ready to shoot that arrow. You know, I've seen guys on elk hunts that they'll miss a bull standing broadside at 20 yards, and then they'll go to camp and start blowing veins off of their arrows at 90 yards. But they get that animal in front of them, they fall apart. But, you know, a lot of people don't put themselves in those pressure situations, which shooting target archery, you know, when there's money on the line, you know, a dollar's a dollar. You know, if it's a dollar or $100, you're still putting stakes up, and it makes it a lot different for you. So yeah. That's what, one of the things I do.
Yeah, putting pressure on, I agree. Like, it just changes things, and there's no way to get out of being under pressure when there's an animal in front of you. You know, it's not like, I mean, yeah, it can be a little less if you see the animal coming from a long ways away, or, you know, vice versa, but either way, there's still that excitement, that pressure, you know, that comes with hunting. That's why we do it. So, you know, being able to manage it along the lines of what you're saying is super helpful for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I, on that same hunt, the next day, I had a buddy come in, and he was in a slump that he hadn't killed anything with his bow for a little while. And I was like, yeah, I know there's some javelina in this area. So, and we actually went to the same hill that I shot that deer, and there was some javelina right below us. And we made a stalk, and we ended up passing them somehow. Just the wind was perfect, and they crossed right behind us. And so we were just standing there, and my buddy turned around and he saw the pigs under a tree. It's like, all right, let's backtrack. When we come over this little hill, we're going to have like a 10 to 20 yard shot. And we came, you know, it was a perfect stalk. Javelina are really the perfect animal for bow hunting. You know, if you're having a hard time, go do a javelina hunt, because it's a blast, and they're made for bow hunting. But we came over that little hill, and the pigs, I saw them under a bush. They were, I think we ended up being 17 yards from them under the bush. And we just sat there and waited for them to stand up. And, you know, he drew, stood up, leaned out, and one of them, the big boar, stood up and he slammed it. And same thing, he kept his composure all the way, even after. He's one of the guys that it takes quite a bit for him to get excited. And, you know, same kind of deal. He puts himself in those pressure situations so he can control it. But so that it helps me a lot. You know, anything that I can do that's going to give me a little bit of an advantage, so that I can stay calm, execute better, be a better shot. You know, we owe a lot of respect to these animals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's never a good thing when you, you know, you hear people go out and say that they're, you know, or the week before the hunt, they're getting everything set up. And a lot of people don't have the time, but, you know, in my eyes, anything I can do to put that animal down quicker so they don't suffer and, you know, just makes it a better hunt for me. So,
yeah, absolutely, man. I agree 100%. I appreciate you sharing your story and talking about some of the things that led to your success as well. Like, that's a great story, because I like the type of stories, you know, that people get a kick out of the story, you know, and get kind of drawn into the story, but then also can go, wow, I would have never thought to try that, or, you know, that's happened to me before. It worked for, you know, he did this differently than I do, and now I'm going to try that, you know?
Yeah.
Or I've been in that exact same scenario. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know?
So. Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen when that animal's standing there, you know? Or once you get to that point, you're like, oh, crap, what's going to happen? What do I do? And, you know, any help, you know, I'm always willing to listen and learn, you know, good and bad from people, you know,
yep.
Whether they've got good advice or bad advice, if it's advice and you can take away what you want with it. But, you know, try and find something good from anybody you're talking to. It's more tools in your tool bag. So,
yep. Yep, exactly. I honestly like hearing the stories that went wrong more than I like hearing the ones that went right, because I think it's easier to learn from.
Yeah, how much time do you have? I've got a list of things I've done wrong. Jeez.
Join the club. So. Join the club. Well, there we go. We Sweet. Just got another topic. We can do another stories from the red zone, and you and I can just talk about all of our hunts that went wrong.
Yeah.
So,
all right, man.
Well, I appreciate
that'll
it.
That'll really work. Do. Yeah. You know, when you're ready, and we'll get it going.
Okay. Sounds good. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Okay. We'll see you, Zach.
All right. See you, Logan. Bye.
Bye.
That concludes this week's segment of Stories from the Red Zone. I hope you got a few laughs and maybe learned some things to do and some things definitely not to do. Now, let's check out this week's gear review. You know, I'm impressed with this Kafaru. 150 plus pounds, this thing can handle whatever I throw at it. These Under Armour fat tires are so comfortable, but it's only been 6 months and they've already got holes. I just can't get them to hold up for me. This Valkyrie broadhead delivery system hits so hard. Pass-throughs are now expected. I gotta say it, this Sitka gear is the only camo that has lasted me longer than a year. And once again, this damn binocular harness has rotated around, putting all the pressure on the base of my neck. This S4 gear lockdown sucks. Just like that, it was broke and I was pissed. I'm not here to tear any companies down, but to simply tell the truth, because my life and my hunt depend on my gear to perform. So with that, enjoy your no-holds-barred, non-scripted, no-bullshit gear review. Now,
let's
get
into
the show!
All right, this is Kel Staten coming to you with Archery Maniacs, and I've got a gear review. We've got the Tenzing TZ1140 Archery Sling Pack. This has been my go-to pack for whitetail hunting for the last 2 years. I've taken it on two spot and stalk hunts also, down in South Texas hunting javelinas and hogs. This has been my favorite pack that I've found so far, and I'm just going to kind of go through some of the features with you and tell you what I like about it. First of all, it's a... If you buy it from Tenzing, it's going to be $129.99. I think I found it on Amazon for $100. And I think last week, which was beginning of March, I found it on Camo Fire for around $80. I should have bought a second one, but I didn't. But because mine is still in great shape, I don't need another one right now. But you are able to find these on Amazon or Camo Fire sometimes for a little cheaper than the $129.99. This pack weighs 2 pounds, 3 ounces. It's 1,140 cubic inches. It has 12 different pockets to store things in. Just the right amount is what it seems like to me. It's basically about 17 inches tall, 12 inches wide. It's not too big, but it's just big enough where I can take a day's worth of stuff with me and have just enough room and to store everything that I need to make it through either an evening or morning hunt or an all day hunt like I did in South Texas with the javelinas. Some of the things I like about this, it has a side quiver mount. Okay, the quiver did not come with it. I found a six arrow quiver to mount to this. I just picked one out that I liked, and I was able to use these Velcro straps to put this on the pack itself. It also has this pouch here for your rangefinder. This is awesome. The rangefinder is always within reach when you're spotting stalking, or if you're sitting in a stand, or just to and from your stand. However you do it. This is made for a right-handed person. You may be able to find them in a left-handed version. I have not looked. Sorry about that, guys. But it works just perfect for me. Since it is a right-hand setup, everything's right where I need it. There is all these different compartments. So we do got an H2O port. You can put your bladder in here if you like to carry your water that way. It does have a main compartment that you can store stuff in. You know, I've got a drag rope in here right now, some gloves, and the best sunflower seeds in the world. If you haven't tried these guys, this could be another podcast, but these are like a drug. You get addicted to them. Black pepper, the cracked pepper flavor. That's for another day. We do have another medium-sized compartment that's got the mesh separating the different compartments in here. I've got different choke tubes in here. I've got some calls, some extra parts for my arrows. I've got a mouse squeaker for the any coyotes or something. I've got a flashlight, different things I've got in there. This side pocket works perfect for me to put my knives in. I carry a couple different exchangeable blade knives that I can keep in here, so I always have a razor sharp knife to take care of the animals that I kill. This front pouch is perfect for your licenses, or I keep some hot hands in here, some thermocell replacements. If you don't hunt in Texas, in the South, you'll know about these thermocells. I keep that on me all the time, keep those mosquitoes away in early season. So it has just enough room if you want to keep a sandwich or something in this pack to take with you the stand, a little bit of snacks or food. You've got plenty of room in this pack to make it at least a day. This is not something that you would take out west and try to pack an animal out with, absolutely not. But for whitetail hunting, some spot stalk hunting when you're close to a four-wheeler or something like that, or where you're able to come back or get your animals a different way other than packing them out, this is an excellent pack for that situation. The only thing that's on this that I really don't use, it has this bow carrier, and I really haven't found a use for it right yet. I should just take it off. I've left it on here. I've hung my bow by the string a couple times on it. It just felt awkward. I really didn't help me, but maybe some of the other people may, if you tree stand hunt a lot or something, it may help you, but I don't think you'd keep your pack on a tree stand. Other than standing on a ridge and glassing with your pack on to hang your bow from it for a little bit, I don't know what use this is. It's not been useful to me. As far as the ergonomics, this is extremely easy to use. One of my favorite things about the pack, it's a sling pack. So when you get ready to go, you just sling it over your head, reach around. Oop, if I had this unbuttoned, this unclipped, it'd be a lot easier. Grab your clip and it's ready to go. It just takes a second to put on. You get to your spot where you need to go, or you're sitting, you just take it right back off. And you can hang it from your tree. Arrows are ready. Rangefinder's in its spot. However it is for the hunt. When I'm spotting stalking, I keep this on. When I'm spotting stalking here for pigs and stuff in Texas, my rangefinder, I just keep this open so it's ready to go right here. I need a follow-up shot. My arrow I can grab real quick without even looking. I was able to go through the brush and the trees and everything in South Texas here a few weeks back with this on. The way the arrows sit on here, I'm able to move through the woods without them catching on anything, snagging on anything. I was pretty as thick as the brush is down in South Texas. I was able to sneak through and able to use this pack at all times to stalk those javelinas and pigs while I was down there. So, easy use. It's can't get much easier. It's a backpack. Toughness, this pack's 2 years old. You can see there's some dirt and stuff on it, some blood and things like that. I've not washed it yet. Probably should try to do that. There's not been one tear. None of the zippers have had any issues. All of the attachments are still on here. All the zippers are double stitched. There's a mesh on the back to kind of make it breathable too when you're wearing it. This is an excellent overall pack for whitetail hunting. I haven't found a better pack out there. You do absolutely get what you pay for. Like I said, this is just 2 years old, and it's like it's in new condition still. I'll be able to use this pack for several more years, I'm sure of it, without having any issues. And I would definitely recommend this to a friend. I'm recommending it to you guys right now. Go to Tenzing and find this pack and buy one. It's an excellent pack. Look all over the internet where Amazon or Camo Fire, you may be able to find it a little cheaper, but this is an awesome pack overall. So I hope some of you buy it, or ones that are already using it, love it as much as I do. Thanks for listening to Archery Maniacs.
Thank you for tuning in to the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, 1-star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.